And I don't, you know, I don't know why Herb would pull my arm about this, but he told me that him and Louie actually looked out the marquee room at the Marriott and could see me shooting a stand-up in Times Square that I was out there covering that story. And it was like a day later that they had the big major news conference that they announced him formally and everything mm-hmm. else. What a legend.
Did that feel like work? I mean, you're doing what you love at that point. You're not, does that feel like you're punching a time clock in and going to work?
No. And it never felt that way. It just, I never had a day where I didn't want to get out of bed to go, report on something.
Well, think of how many guys and women, that's your dream. I mean, you're living a dream that many people have been mm-hmm. worked a long time to try to do, and well-deserved, by the way. You did sports for about 14 years. You toggled between anchoring weekends and, you know, backing up and then doing sports reporting. At what point did you make the decision to go into news versus the sports?
Well, it was all economics. At the time that I'd been at KSTP for 14 years, I had covered 3 Winter Olympics, had really a lot of fun and had a lot of good success in covering the major sports. I had a news director at the time. That, you know, you were typically on a 1 or 2 year contract. And so every other, mm-hmm. you know, every 24 months, you're having these contract talks again. And I had a news director at that time who said, you know, very candidly, you know, if you want to make more money in this business and specifically here at this company, we need to raise your profile beyond sports. And she said, there's no reason that what you're doing on the sports side doesn't transfer over to the news side. Because you get a whiff of a story and you go after it. And I was intrigued by that. But I also was intrigued because I was, you know, providing, I've got three boys. And at that time, they were all, you know, very young, mm-hmm. You know, probably 6, 8, 11 years old at that time. And so the idea that I could, you know, continue my career and stay with the same company and just make that little crossover from news, from sports to news, I was intrigued by that. I mean, this was a new challenge.
Do you think it's a misconception sometimes that a sports guy or a sports reporter, they can't do news? I mean, they only know.
Well, there's
stuff.
Some. That's because some can't. You know, I mean, really. But I think that journalists, mm-hmm. You know, I think you can get stereotyped that you are only good to do one or the other. Look at Randy Shaver now,
right.
Who's doing a really nice job mm-hmm. over at mm-hmm. Over at CARE.
Well, Tim McNiff, Jeff Passelt. There's a list of people that are doing news now that did. I mean, not just sports for a couple of years, but decades of sports.
And I would always, you know, I would always argue or have conversations with folks to say, you need to be so nimble as a sports reporter. I mm-hmm. mean, it happens now, and the next minute you're on the air mm-hmm. trying to piece it all together. You're trying to report what you just saw.
Mm-hmm.
And that turnaround time and to be that quick on your feet, I think, as a sports reporter, is great training to become a good news reporter.
Do you remember your first story on news? What was your first story, if you recall?
Well, when I was going through that transition, there was a very high profile state legislator from Willmar who had, there were some ethic violations that
was
were.
Was this the golf and phone scandals of 93?
Well, that could have, that's about the time.
Okay.
And I kind of remember the legislator's name.
Was it a woman?
Nope. It was a man.
Okay.
And long story short, he had really dodged the media. I mm-hmm. mean, he really hadn't really told his side of the story. He kept saying there was more to the story, and it was this perception of impropriety, mm-hmm. you know. But it was at the time it was kind of a bigger deal,
mm-hmm.
and he hadn't really had his side of the story told. And I remember I showed up at his house out in Willmar. And he was surprised that I would meet him at the door. He says, what are you doing here? And I said, you know, I just this story won't go away. And I'm mm-hmm. here to provide a platform to do the story. And he says, I'm just running out the door here to go play golf. He says, you want to come play golf with me? He said, oh, then I'll sit down with you when we're done. And I said, okay. I was dressed for work. I wasn't dressed for golf. But I spent we played 9 holes and
who won?
I'm sure I lost. I love golf. Golf doesn't love me. But I then came, and in those days, I think it was film. It wasn't tape. I don't remember all the, all that. But the story then went on like the next night. That's what you know, like I said, that, you know, today you get that story on by the six, you'd be done with the golf at 4 o'clock, you'd be on by five.
Right.
But that was the first time I actually fronted a news story that had been enterprised, and voila, I was in the news business.
That's great. You know, one of the best interviews I think you did, and it's on tcmedianow.com. Hal Greenwood, who was a high-profile person in this town, Midwest Federal, and involved in a lot of different companies, the Twins and other things, and you had one of the very, very rare interviews with Hal Greenwood while he was in prison.
Well, it actually, you know, the last year of his sentence, it was a home monitoring.
Right, right.
And so he was under his home monitoring portion of his sentence, but it was at his North Shore property,
right.
And which just baffled me that the government didn't get that. I mean, you're allowed one, you know, they took everything else from this this guy,
right?
But he was able to keep that in the family, and you know, I don't know if the family still has it, but it was a spectacular, right on the North Shore up there, piece of property. You're right. We sat down with him over the course of a couple of days and did a couple of interviews with him.
I think I thought I had the theory why you left sports right here. Let's play this clip right here. And this is you in Chicago. The Wild are playing Chicago tonight. So this is the North Stars playing Chicago in 1985.
They're down 4-0 at one point tonight. They have tied it up. The game is tied now, 4-4. North Stars and Blackhawks are in their locker room. They're headed into overtime for the second game in a row. You'll remember that in game four, it went into a double overtime before the issue was decided. The North Stars have really proven a lot of people wrong. Not many gave them a chance to be in this game, but tonight they have staged a strong comeback, and they are tied 4-4 and headed for overtime. Let's take it back to you.
All right, Rob, stay with them. Was that guy booing our Rob Lear out there?
That is got to be. I mean, it's a tough place to play, but if the sportscaster goes in there and gets booed.
One note here. Brett McNeil out of Minneapolis North was named Mr. Basketball in Minnesota.
Rob wasn't even wearing green.
No, but they know him by now because he's been there. They tried throwing beer at him last time when the North Stars won in Chicago, and they were pretty accurate from what I understand.
Well, maybe
if they win tonight, he'll be doused real good.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is our news. We thank you for being with us.
Yeah, that man was just as our former governor, actually, that is booing you right there. He's got the sunglasses and the facial hair, and I think that he has a...
Now, how about the news anchor there was Dennis Bounds.
Dennis Bounds, yeah.
You know, still in Seattle.
And he's at King TV in Seattle.
And Larry Burnett.
Larry Burnett.
Working with the WNBA.
He is working with WNBA. He is. He actually sent me some tapes, Rob, which there's some more Rob Lear coming on the site here pretty soon. There's some more stuff on its way. Let's take a break. We'll talk more with Rob Lear on Flashback Twin Cities. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with my guest Rob Lear of Lear Communication and KSGP-TV. Rob, we'll talk about what you're doing now. I do want to play one more clip. You know, as a person on TV, you have a very public life. I mean, things you do, people think they know you. They see you on TV nightly. They assume that you're their friend or they're your relative. This is from August 31st, 1985. Actually, September 2nd, 85. Let's listen to this.
Last, but certainly not least tonight, Channel 5 Sports has obtained exclusive pictures of the unofficial winner in the Eyewitness News Baby of the Week contest. Please meet Robert Murray Lear, who happens to be the one and only contestant in this week's biased contest. This lovable 8-pound baby was born last Thursday, and at last report, Mom Maureen and baby Robbie were doing just fine. But ask what he wants to do when he grows up, Robbie was quoted as saying, "Nothing at all." In honor of this, we have cigars for all when the show is over. Chocolate cigars at that.
Congratulations,
thank
by the
so
way.
Much.
Thanks, Rob. Finally, a reminder to stay tuned.
That's a good clip, too.
No, it's and by the way, everyone, that's chocolate cigars. Rob did not handle tobacco on the news set. I want to make sure we clear that up. It's very sensitive nowadays. So you did journalism 10 years. You did news 10 years and left in 2003. And what, you know, you went to be a consultant, and what did you think you were going to do at that point? Because a lot of people I've talked to on, you know, here have either left on their own accord, or, you know, they were being held back, as they might say, and then what? You know, what comes next?
Well, I mean, for me, it was kind of an evolution in that I had 24 great years at KSDP, mm-hmm. you know, 14 in sports, 10 in investigative news. And when I left, I had the best job in the newsroom. Mm-hmm. And so by having the best job in the newsroom, it just allowed me a lot of time at the end of my career. I was doing special projects, and I mm-hmm. wasn't on the air, you know, but a couple of times a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I had kind of weaned myself off a little bit about the daily fix of it all. I was more into the bigger stories mm-hmm. and the high profile type stories. But it was, you know, I got out of the business at that real economic crunch where the downsizing of the media just, you know, exploded.
Right.
And anybody with 20 years experience or more, mm-hmm. You know, was making a lot of money back then. And the economics of broadcasting didn't add up. And I was not asked to leave the station. I was asked to change my position at the station. Mm-hmm. And with that, they wanted to restructure my contract. And so at that time, I was at a crossroads to say, you know, do I really want to walk out the back door today and come back on Monday, right. you know, at a 35% pay decrease? Or has this 24 years of broadcast experience, has it allowed me an opportunity to go out and work with others that perhaps don't have the expertise and experience mm-hmm. of how to deal with the press? And really, I was having a lot of those experiences. And when I was a reporter and I was onto a story and I'd call somebody and, you know, you would just literally sometimes catch people off guard and they were just not comfortable dealing with the press.
Right. And there's any university course can teach a public relations course. But when you're in for 24 years, mm-hmm. You may not have a PhD, but look, I know how to talk to street reporters. I know how to talk to sports reporters, and I know how to that bridge between the corporate press release and someone showing up at your door, knocking on the door with a microphone.
Right. Well, and so that's what I thought. You know, how can I harness what I have here and turn it into a new career or a second career? And I'll never forget this. That it was in 1991. It would have been later than that. The North Stars left here.
93.
So Bob Gainey was coaching the North Stars. Mm-hmm. It must have been 91, 92. And his wife, Kathy, died tragically of cancer at way too early of an age. And the North Stars were going shortly after this on a road trip up to Canada. And I have all the respect in the world for Bob Gainey, Hall of Famer, just mm-hmm. just an unbelievable man. And I was at the rink in and around that time, and I was going to leave. And he said, Rob, can I talk to you for a minute? And he was a very private person. And he shut the door and he said, you know about my wife that's died. He says, I'm concerned I'm going back to Canada for the first time since her passing. And I know I'm going to be asked a lot of questions from the Canadian press about this. How should I handle it? And that little, and I thought we talked it through. Mm-hmm. And when I left the rink that day, I had a whole new perspective for that. Mm-hmm. Somebody thought that this experience and what I was doing for a living perhaps could translate into a career.
Right.
And I've never forgotten that. That was to me a signal to say, you know, make something out of this. This is, you've been doing this and it's been fun. It's been a hobby. It's, you know, you've gone to a lot of great places. You've traveled the world. You've met newsmakers from all over. But now do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the last 10 years, I now have a consulting company and I work directly with small companies. I work with large companies. I coach people who are dealing with the press.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about messaging. We talk about how to put your best foot forward. We try to manage crises when they arise. It's all just about trying to tap my experience and expertise and making people comfortable, because this is still the most powerful medium the media.
Exactly.
And there's so much that can be gained from your message and how you talk to people. And so that's and when I'm dealing with my clients and I'm working on media deadlines, I feel like I'm still in the business, and it's just so much fun. And sometimes I have to remember and try to be more sensitive, because sometimes these are things that are more impacting their own lives.
Sure. People are paying you. You have to be a little more sensitive than when you're actually just going up through the microphone to someone's face and asking for a comment. Right.
Right. So anyway, that's what I do, and it has been just a lot of fun.
What's the website for people that want to?
Well, it's Lear Communication, and it's L-E-E-R Communication. So it's www.learcommunication.com.
We were looking at some of the clients you had. I think my guest Rob Lear of Lear Communication. Forgive me, I think I said communications, but
that's okay.
The Twins ballpark. You worked with not only the Twins for pitching the ballpark, but also during the actual process of building the ballpark, which had been a great thing for you.
I felt like we were working behind the curtain as they built Target Field. We were the agency of record for the Minnesota Ballpark Authority, which mm-hmm. is the public agency, and that was just a lot of fun. But my clients have ranged from working on behalf of the American Academy of Neurology, working with some of the best and brightest neurologists in the country, and working on some of the media training exercises that we do. This very high profile has been the labor status of our orchestras in town.
Right.
And the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, the musicians. We just completed...
That's settled. St. Paul is settled now. Minneapolis is the next one.
Right. Yep. St. Paul just settled, and I worked as their consultant for the last 10 months and just met some marvelous people, very talented individuals.
Working with the mayor, working with the musicians, working with the representatives.
Right. But we worked on the musician side.
Okay.
Here again are these talented people who are in the prime of their careers, working at the top of their profession, and who have worked on all these great stages, and then the media calls and they say, what should I call them back, and what do I tell them? and so they should be telling us, given their expertise and how they can play an instrument.
It's and you're learning a lot too. I'm guessing you're learning. You're getting a whole new education every time you pick on a new client.
The best part about reporting was you'd walk into work and you didn't know if you're going to be covering a city council meeting. Mm-hmm. You didn't know if you're going to be covering a tragedy. Mm-hmm. You didn't know if you're going to be breaking medical news. And yet then you had a couple of hours to submerge yourself in that topic, mm-hmm. and to lean on the people that were your experts and the people that could help you best understand all of these nuances of whatever the topic was that you were going to cover. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, you were a so-called expert, mm-hmm. Or at least you knew enough to be able to report accurately and fairly what that story was.
The Rolodex must be pretty big at this point.
Well, it got to be, and that was interesting too, because when you are making that transition out of being a reporter into the business world, the people that I thought I would have some crossover with, mm-hmm. and carry with me, it didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And you have to be reminded you don't take any of this stuff personal anymore.
Right, right.
But I, I've got some great clients now, and people say, where does your work come from? It comes from referrals. It comes mm-hmm. from people who say, I've worked with him. He really does have a knack. He does have a sense. He knows timing. And it's not all, not all news is bad news. We work with a lot of people that are launching new products. They're trying to roll out new businesses. They've hired good people. Mm-hmm. The thing that people always say is, how come my company never gets any, doesn't get quoted in the paper, or nobody online is doing stories about the success of our mm-hmm. company? I said, well, you have to tell them.
It's tailoring message, and I think that you can't be an expert at everything, and I think that especially now in this kind of startup company world we have, and getting a website domain does not mean you're an expert at. You're an engineer, a marketer, a media consultant. You got to do what you're good at, it's okay to ask for help and invest in pieces that you may not be the expert at.
Yeah, and it's we've been able to tap the great network of KSTP alum, There's still a lot of people that are doing video in this market.
Andy
still
Scootman
a lot of,
and
Andy's been a partner of mine and worked on a lot of projects together. But, you know, when we need to get things shot from a video and production standpoint, there's a whole list of KSTP former photographers that are now dabbling in that business. And when you need to, they just... What you miss is the newsroom and the camaraderie and the collaboration of just very, very smart people that all work together.
Let's take one flashback clip again. This is from 1981 at Met Center.
They are down 4-0 at one point tonight. They have tied it up. The game is tied now, 4-4. North
Stars Chicago Stadium.
No. Sorry, wrong clip. That was my fault. I could listen to the booing one again. It's
way out at Metropolitan Stadium. The first game already in progress, and Rob Lear is standing by to tell us just exactly, in a few words, exactly what's happening out at the stadium.
Well, Bob, the Twins are off to a good start, as you mentioned, in the first of two games to be played out here tonight. The Twins lead 4-0 over the Oakland A's as we head into the top half of the sixth inning. The Twins scored three of the runs in the bottom of the second inning. As you see right there, Butch Weiniger grounds into a fielder's choice. That scores Glenn Adams. The Twin had a 1-0 lead. Then it was Hoskin Powell scoring two runs on that single to left. That was his 26th and 27th RBI of the season. The Twins led 3-0. They've added another run in the bottom of the fifth inning on a Glenn Adams double. The Twins lead 4-0 behind Pete Redfern, who's on the hill. He's allowed just four A's hits, and he appears to be off.
Pete Redfern.
There's some names. There's names you haven't heard in a while. Well, again, Met Stadium, and that's it's amazing. It's been 30 years since that's been gone.
Well, to think in our lifetime, you know, not only did they close Met Stadium and implode it, but now the Metrodome is going to be long gone.
The Metrodome, everyone said we needed to have, and now it's gonna go away.
Yeah. It's I guess the lifespan of a stadium, a pro sports venue these days, is about 25 years, which is hard to believe.
When the stadium first Met Stadium closed, was it tough for you guys? Did you guys miss the Met Stadium versus the Dome?
Yeah. I mean, look at there's nothing better than being at Target Field for an outdoor baseball game. I mean, that's
if the snow melts, it might be kind
of fun. But that's part of the charm. I mean, that's what we used to pride ourselves about it, being how weather worthy we were, and now everybody would rather be indoors, I guess.
Do you recall the coldest day in that stadium you were at?
Yeah, probably one of those old Viking playoff games, like 75, probably against Dallas or one of those. Those were some cold days.
Well, you know what? Now it's great to be a fan, right?
Oh, it's nothing better than being a fan.
Rob, thanks for coming in today. It's been
Tom,
great talking about 24 years of KSTP. Also at Lear Communication, learcommunication.com. We'll have to have you come back and let us know what's going on.
Well, and my hat's off to you for living the days of old television past live on.
Well, check out tcmedianow.com if you want to see Rob again on TV. You can see Rob any time of the day at tcmedianow.com. We will be back next week with Joan Steffend on Flashback Twin Cities. This is KLBB Club 1220.